Tonight I want us to look at a topic, where to find the hope you need. Now, there's a lot of different things you'll hope for in life. Few of the things you hope for, you need. You agree with me on that? But we need to look to the Word of God and finding the hope. Now, I did a sermon on this several years ago, and I've remembered that I had a whole lot of background study, and I wanted you all to have it printed for you tonight, so that's the reason you're hearing this. You can live 40 days without food. Yeah, we'd have trouble, wouldn't we? Yeah. 40 days without food. 3 days you can live without water. You can live 8 minutes without air, but not a single second without hope. Hope is one of the essentials of life. When hope is gone, life is over. You need hope to cope. Now, here's what I wanted you to see. Dr. Harold Wolf, who is professor at Cornell University in the medical school, did a study on the effects of hope on the human body. Now, listen to this. He studied 25,000 prisoners of war over an extended period of time to see what hope did to them and what difference it made. He discovered that out of those 25,000 POWs, there was one group of men on whom the experience of being a POW had no effect at all. In spite of brutality, in spite of torture, in spite of solitary confinement, in spite of all kinds of inhumane abuse, there was one group it just didn't faze. There was no post-traumatic stress syndrome. They didn't get ill. They didn't have flashbacks. They just handled it and went on with their life. When he studied the group, the one common denominator was an extraordinary high level of hope. Hope makes all the difference in the world. It is essential for handling the crisis of life. It is concluding study. In his concluding study, he said, when a man has hope, he's capable of bearing incredible burdens and cruel punishment. But when hope is gone, people fall apart emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Now, I've heard men have talked about being in solitary confinement. And I'm talking a POW type, which is brutality beyond imagination. What's his name in our church? French, yeah, Morgan, thank you. Morgan, you know, was said in those talk for hours in there, and I could listen to him for days on end. But spotting the different individuals of those who had hope and how, you know, he gave up and was pulled out into the garbage dump of, I think the Greek would say in Gehenna, the place of hell. It was... where it was a place to where the American soldiers would go out to this pile of dead bodies and sit there to die. And he was telling the story of that when one of his buddies came out and got him and said, I'm not going to let you die. He had dysentery so bad, and that's what most of them died from. And he said, I'm not going to let you die. And then later, Morgan, as he's relaying the story to me, he said, and Brother Laird, the next thing I knew, he was dead. But to look to hope, that it was the lack of hope that killed most of them. The POWs who survived were the ones who kept hope alive. What I was saying at the beginning, those that were in solitary confinement, that were Christians, they always had somebody to talk to. A Christian should be in such communication with their Lord that they couldn't put any of us in any confinement where our mind could not carry on a conversation with God. Romans 15, verse 13. May God, the source of hope, you got that? May God, the source of hope, fill you with joy and peace through your faith in Him. Then you'll overflow with hope. Okay, I know by the Word of God then that hope is based on my relationship with Christ. and my trust in him that he will watch over me. So when I put my life in his hands, weren't we supposed to do that when we accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior? Put our life in his hand? When we do that, he's always there. Look at the Apostle Paul. He carried on a conversation with the Lord all the time when he was chained to the wall. What happens? Angels walk in, chains fall loose. He leaves, and everybody else is in trouble. That focuses on a relationship with Christ. I can never be in solitary confinement as long as I can talk to my Lord. So therefore, I am a Christian. If I have consciousness, I can talk to the Lord. If I've already left this world from consciousness, I can talk with the Lord, and he can talk with me. That's the blessing that we have. Sadly, we don't accept it very well. Psalm 52, verse 9, in your name I will hope, for your name is good. Okay? See, we look for hope from people. We look for hope from situations. We look for hope from the world. The world has never showed us hope. The situations in our life seem to pull us down rather than lift us up. We don't have hope in a situation. It is through Christ that hope exists. And it is through Christ and his love for us that he lifts us up in hope. Only the Christian people can walk in a funeral home. People start hugging one another, laughing, joking, right around the casket of where somebody's gone on to be with the Lord. And everybody knows it. And people are excited. You get into a room where they're non-believers, and you'd be like your chaplain pastor. You'd stand behind the door, not waiting for the cake, but you'd stand behind the door to wait and see who was going to go nuts next, trying to crawl in the casket, because they saw no hope. When people see no hope, then they completely break down. The Christian must always understand that in Christ there is hope, not in what I understand of Christ. It's not whether I understand how Christ is working in me. It has nothing to do with it. My hope lies in who he is, not in who I am, neither in who I believe he is in my life. It's all in him. It's all in his love. It's how you and I just cannot grasp it. But the Lord has already grasped it, and he says, you belong to me. I love you. You give me a little hope and watch out. Chesty Puller. I know all you soldier boys will remember Chesty Puller, the most decorated Marine. I know you all had his picture up and all of that on your walls over here at Knox. But remember when he was surrounded by the enemy and they called in and, the enemy is around you, you know, completely surrounded. Do you want us to send reinforcements? And he said, what for? I got them just where I want them. And they turned and they fought their way out. And then some of the army boys were there to help them out as they came across. I can't help it. Jehovah Shema, God's many names. Jehovah Shema is the name of God, is always there. Many times we forget that God is the God of every situation. So when the Hebrews are giving him the different names, this is the name of God is always there. Past, present, future, good times, good places, or bad places. You cannot go to such a bad place that God is not there. God is not going to desert us because of our ignorance. God is going to be with us no matter where we go. He's going to keep loving us no matter how foolish we become. His love is not based on our foolishness or on how good we are. His love is based on who he is and who Christ is in us. So we will have the hope because we know that God is always there. I cannot go somewhere where God is not there. So therefore, if the enemy grabbed me, and I'm talking about the enemy of God or whatever, if they're going to stop you from proclaiming the truth, it doesn't matter where they take you. No matter what happens to me or with me, folks, I'm going to be with God. He's going to keep watching. Even when I have those cases of the stupids, He's going to keep watching over me. You too, Josh. Because we have a tendency to do dumb things sometimes, right? Number one, because God is always with me, His presence is watching over me. Now, it is His presence. Okay, let me delve into that a little bit. Now, let's say that you and I understand that the Lord is watching over us. And it is His presence, just like the Scripture says. Okay, but you say, well, I don't see His presence. Well, these three girls are there. His presence is in them. Not only is His presence in them, His presence is in me and any other Christian that's having the problem. So that's why we Christians are to stick together. We are the skin, remember, for Jesus. As the church, we are the human skin. Therefore, we understand that He is always watching over us. He may use another individual as keeping vigil. And He definitely will use angels to keep vigil. But His presence is always here. And you're a child of a king. He's not going to leave you out in this world. And this world has no authority over us. And this world certainly has no authority over God. And people say, well, the earth is completely collapsing. Well, it's God cursed it. God put the curse on the earth, not on Adam and Eve. And the earth is dying. Yes, that's what the Scripture said. Maybe these guys ought to read the Bible. You know, they didn't learn a whole lot from the Bible. Yeah, I know that it is. Do you know that we have climate change? Yes. We've had climate change evidently since the beginning of time. Climate change, yeah. But God's still in control. Is it not His earth? Let me ask you this one. Do you really believe that the Creator of this earth will allow a human race that He created to destroy His creation? Man cannot destroy the creation of God. Man, and people say man will self-destruct. Man can't self-destruct. God created man. He created us in His own image. We are in the image of God. I cannot destroy the existence of my fellow man. Why? I didn't create them. I'm not the Father. Neither are the armies. Neither are the enemies of God. Therefore, are things falling apart? Yes. Read the Bible and you will find out. And in those last days, there should be wars and rumors of war. Stars will fall. There will be signs in the heavenly realm. And the Lord said, pay attention to this. Why? Well, yeah, but we're going to blow up the world. Well, God will, because He said He would send fire from heaven. He would do it. Nothing's going up, coming down, and destroying. Now, we may destroy parts of ourselves through our ignorance, but you can't destroy His creation. Okay, I'm off that. Isaiah 41:10. Don't worry, because I am with you. Don't be afraid, because I am your God. I will make you strong and will help you. I will support you. Pretty good scripture, huh? Okay. Psalm 32:8. I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. It's not that God is not guiding us. Sometimes we don't pay any attention to the guide. We get the lollygagging back here looking on the side of the path at the ways of the world, and we get excited over the ways of the world, and we're looking out at the ways of the world and not paying any attention to the guide. I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. Let me explain something on that too. Remember this. When God calls me to get from, let's say point A to point B, if I'm going to say that. Well, let's do it this way. I'm going to get from here to the destination God has called me to get there. Now, many people say yes, and you have to go from A to B. That's not scripture. God will let you go through all 26 letters of the alphabet. the path leads to there. So God will bless a path. The blessing comes from God being with you and you focusing on Him. He says, I have the best pathway for you. So when you're on the best pathway and then you quit looking at the guide, you get on another pathway. Many people say, well, I can't get back on the path. Yes, you can. Because God says, I'm the one that's even started the alphabet. I know where you're at, and I'll guide you back to the right path. I will advise you and watch over you. We need a little more advice. Well, maybe we don't need a little more. Maybe we need to be paying a little attention to what we've been advised on. Lamentations 3:21 through 23. I have hope when I think of this. The Lord's love never ends. His mercies never stop. They are new every morning. You know, every day that you wake up, you got a new hope. Yes, it is. Every day you wake up, that's a new hope. I think that's normal for people to forget what day it is. I think that's very nice. That's not a loss of memory or anything. The day of the week, I was doing some work for one of the banks, and said, John Banter, you know what date it is? I said, I don't have the slightest idea. Aren't you sorry you called me to do this? But think of it. The days of the week, you get too busy with life. And you don't think it. But people get scared when that happens to them, don't? Or if you need to get scared, then I need to get scared with you, and the rest of us in here need to get scared. That just happens, people. Well, that happens. In this world, life is so busy. Continual. Yes, continual. All the time. Yes. Because God is always with you, number two, His purpose is working in me or in you. Romans 8:28. We know that God causes all things to work together for good. Doesn't say that God causes only good things. You got that? God causes all things to work together for the good. For who? For those who love God and are called according to His purpose. God says, I will take the bad that's given to you in life and I'll turn it around for your good. Every one of us will have a story on that. We'll have our own individual story on that. Jeremiah 29 verse 11. This is God speaking. I have good plans for you. I want you to notice, nowhere in Scripture will you see where God says, I have bad plans for you. It's always good. I have good plans for you, not plans to hurt you. Therefore, whatever goes on with me that hurts me is not of God. You got that? All of us is children. If whatever goes on hurts us is not of God. I will give you hope. Where does hope come from? God. It's a free gift through salvation. And a good future. Now you tell me, when everybody wants to know why I don't retire, you tell me as to which retirement plan I had rather be on. Social Securities or God's? Or the world's? Or my investments? Or any of that stuff? Think of that. I have hope and a good future. Well, that good future actually relates into great future. We got a great future out of this world. You know, Estelle, I really believe, girls, that every one of us will remember so much about the fun times of life and with one another. I've often wondered and said, well, we joke, you know, Estelle, did you bring you here? And they don't need it, Larry. And that'd be great. Didn't need my teeth either. That angel food tastes great. Think of that. You see, folks, God, we're His family. And life is exciting and more exciting. It should be for Christians the closer I get to walking through that door. But you can't get it through. It's got to be something that's one of those aha moments. Ah. And one of these days when I get to walk through the door, you all will laugh because you'll probably hear me say, aha. Okay, and I'll probably yell back, Estelle, I was right. And Jake said to tell you, Philippians 1 verse 6. God began doing a good work in you, and I am sure he will continue it until it is finished. Remember when you said yes to Jesus? It could never be taken away from you. That's the good work. That began at the point you said yes to Jesus. That's the good work. And it cannot be taken away from you because I am sure he will continue it until it is finished when Jesus Christ comes again. What God started in me, he will finish, not me. Well, now, don't you think we Christians are supposed to get up there, get to the point to where we just sort of let God go ahead and take care of somebody else? No, that's not scriptural. We're never going to get that way. And if you think you are, watch out. No, he's quite capable of doing it all at the same time. Yeah, a lot of Christians say that. Lord, I'm already going to heaven. You know, not sure you're going to get them. Stick with me. I know that's not what you're thinking. There is a third source of hope. You got it? Number three, his place is waiting for me. Now, you all see why I get excited over this. I know there's no such thing as death. I just know that we're changing. But you will never see death. That when they say he's taking his last breath, y'all laugh at him. What are you talking about? He's still talking all the way to heaven. You don't have to. They said, you no need of preaching then. I don't know. That's an awful lot of fun to me, is to get to see God's word and get to preach God's word and to give hope to people. Now, going to heaven is not the end. It is the beginning. It is not the beginning of eternal life. That began at the date of your birth or before when God had you in his mind. That's the beginning of the fun ministry that God will have us continue throughout eternity. We'll be doing it the right way, his way. Okay. John 14, verse 1 and 2. You ready? Don't be troubled. You trust God, now trust in me, Jesus says. I am going to prepare a place for you. Remember? And he goes on to say, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will return and get you and we're going home. That's a paraphrase. Okay. 1 Peter 1, 4 through 6. God has reserved for his children the priceless gift of eternal life. It is kept in heaven for you. And God, in his mighty power, will make sure that you get there safely to receive it because you are trusting him. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though the going is rough for a while down here. Huh? There's a whole lesson to be taught on 1 Peter 4 through 6, but the whole lesson deals with he will make sure that you get there safely. We know from study of Scripture that the spiritual war is still going on. Remember, I did that in one of our studies. And the spiritual warfare that is going on, we know that God sends angels, and the angels escort us. Why? What's between here and God? There is a battle going on. And it's obvious that God has no intention of letting us be caught up in that. Well, what are we going to do later on? Isn't that exciting? Gosh. Okay. Revelation 21:4. He will wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, nor pain. All of that has gone forever. Isaiah 46, 3 through 5. Listen, I have upheld you since you were conceived, and I have taken care of you from your birth. Even when you are old, I will be the same. Even when your hair has turned gray, I'm not going to look up, I will take care of you. I made you and will take care of you. I will carry you and save you. Can you compare me to anyone? No one is equal to me or like me. Woo! Isn't that amazing? Okay, 1 Peter 1:3. In God's great mercy, He has caused us to be born again into a living hope because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Isaiah 40 verse 31, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint.